Corinthians tonight, continuing where we left off. We got a real short passage tonight, real simple, but I think it's easy for us to understand what's going on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 is where we will start. Paul had started the letter talking about some disciplinary issues, but also some restoration that was to come from that, that once the discipline was dealt with, that the community needed to love the one that had sinned in whatever way it was. We don't have a lot of details, but Paul does emphasize the need for love and grace. And so after kind of a harsh letter in 1 Corinthians and a little rough start there at 2 Corinthians, he's defending himself and trying to get the people of Corinth to do better. He's shifting gears a little bit here tonight in the verses that we're going to look at. So we will pray, and then we will read through them. God, we come to you. We thank you for giving us the freedom to come tonight and be in your word. I thank you for the small group that's here, dear Lord, even though we're few in number. We thank you for being good to us, and pray that you help us to be safe in this storm. I pray that you would help us to see this word tonight and examine our own lives to see if we're being a good example to you in the world. If the world likes to see us coming, dear Lord, if the world can tell that we are yours by our actions and the way that we live. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would be more like Paul and those who were with him that we see in this scripture tonight. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And second. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that's in the New Testament. Verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Page 995, if you're using the Pew Bible. All right, it says this. This is Paul talking here, of course. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, the Lord opened a door for me. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find my brother Titus. But I said goodbye to them and left for Macedonia. Now, this little section here doesn't really give us a lot of detail. We know that Paul went to Troas and preached. We know that it seems that they were receptive. God gave him an open door there. He gave him an opportunity to preach. It doesn't sound as though he was there too long. Maybe he was. We just really don't know. We do see this interesting fact that he said he had no rest in his spirit because he did not find his brother Titus. So obviously he was expecting to find Titus there, or expecting to get word from Titus, some communication or interaction with Titus. This would be the same Titus we see in the book of Titus. And for whatever reason, he did not see Titus there, and he wasn't happy about that. That was a difficult thing for him. So it doesn't appear as though he was there too long, even though it was a good stop for him. He eventually left and went on his way. So we don't have too much information in those two verses. We can't speculate too much, but those are the details that he gave us. So we will move on to the end of the chapter, which is a little more applicable to us, maybe. Verse 14, but thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some, we are an aroma of death leading to death, but to others, an aroma of life leading to life. And who is competent for this? For we are not like the many who market God's message for a profit. On the contrary, we speak with sincerity in Christ as from God and before God. So he starts off with a word of thanks here in verse 14. He thanks be to God. And he says, who always puts us on display, or some of your translations may say something like causes us to triumph, something along those lines, that God is always with them, that wherever they go, that God is blessing them, that God is giving them the words to say, that the Holy Spirit is working through them, that they are doing the work of Jesus Christ, and it's making a difference. But he uses an interesting way to describe their effectiveness that God has given them in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, he puts us on display or causes us to triumph in Christ, and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So he says we are the fragrance of Christ. Now that's an interesting way to put it. That is to say that they are something that smells good and that is pleasing, and that everyone can tell who they belong to by their smell, so to speak. Now, I don't know what kind of smell they had. He's obviously using symbolic language here. He's not talking about some perfume that they wore. But we understand what it means to have a pleasant aroma. Everybody wants to smell something pleasant. Nobody wants to smell anything that's not pleasant. And so when Paul showed up onto the scene and those who were with him, it was like a pleasant aroma coming into the room. Now, Monday, Michelle had us cleaning house all day, and she had this concoction, I don't even know what it was, on the stove. It was like lemons and probably some kind of essential oils and looked like rosemary and this whole little concoction. But it made a pleasing aroma, and we enjoy a pleasing aroma. Everybody enjoys a pleasing aroma. I don't know if any of you in here have ever heard of a durian fruit or not. They grow in Southeast Asia. They're native to Southeast Asia, but they're quite interesting, supposedly. Now, I've never seen one. I've only read about them and watched videos about them. But the unique thing about the durian fruit is some people think it smells really good. Other people think it smells like rotten onions and garlic. And so it's the same fruit, but depending on the person that's smelling it, it may be very pleasing to them, or it may make them nauseous. It's a strange thing. And some people cut it open and eat it and say it's good. Other people just can't hardly stand the smell of it. In fact, in some places, it's banned. You can't transport it on a train, or you can't transport it in closed areas around a lot of people because of the smell. It's used a lot in a lot of different foods in Asia, but everybody's taste buds or smell buds, whatever you call them, are a little different. And so to some it's pleasing and to some it's not pleasing. And that's exactly what Paul says here. We come and we're doing the work of God and he is with us and we are triumphant and we are effective in what we are doing. And some people come and they smell the pleasing aroma that we are putting off. They hear the words that we are preaching and teaching, and it brings joy to them. It is pleasing to them. And other people hear the same words, and they hate what they hear. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. They don't want to hear the truth about God. And so some, it's an aroma of death leading to death, Paul says. That is, some people hear the news, and it just hardens their heart that much more. They just hate God that much more. They just get that much angrier, and it doesn't sound like good news to them. For whatever reason, they hear the gospel, and they don't accept it. But others hear the gospel, and it's an aroma of life leading to life. That some, boy, when they come into the room, it's refreshing. They hear what Paul is having to say, and they say, wait a minute, I want to hear more about that. And they hear about being a sinner, and they hear about the words of God and the commands of God, and they hear about the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of Jesus Christ. And they say, wait a minute, I need that in my life. And they want more and more and more of what Paul is trying to teach them. And so as Paul and those who are with him are making their rounds through all these places, Paul says that we are the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That people know who we are, but they smell us coming. The question that we might want to ask ourselves tonight is, when we are around people, do they smell the fragrance of Jesus Christ? What do people smell on us when we get around them? We all love a good smell. We all love a good fragrance. But as Christians, are we putting off a good fragrance? Now, the worst thing one of the worst things that could possibly happen, and sometimes we may be guilty of this, is you don't want to be around somebody that's putting off some BO. That's a bad situation. That's a bad kind of sin, a bad fragrance to be putting off. We don't want to do that. In a physical sense, what do? We try to make sure we don't do that. You ever walk by somebody and you're in a crowd and you're thinking, is that me? And you check yourself because you're not sure if it's you or not. You don't want it to be you because you don't want to be putting off that smell. So you make sure that you put on a little deodorant. You make sure that you put on an extra little puff of perfume or cologne because you don't want to be one who's putting off a bad smell. And we should be the same way in our spiritual walk, in our walk with God, in the way that we interact with people. When people see us coming, do we have a stench about us? I'm not talking about our physical stench. I'm talking about in our attitudes and our actions and the way that we treat other people. Are people glad to see us coming, or do they keep their distance? Because you get somebody that breath stinks or got some BO, you're talking to them, you might kind of get a little extra space there. You know, you don't want to be close to them. And it's the same way for our attitudes and our actions. If we are just people that are just miserable and negative and angry and mean and just hateful all the time, well, that's not a Christ-like attitude. Maybe we say we're a Christian, maybe we are, but if we are and we're acting that way, then we need to check ourselves because we're not being the fragrance, the pleasing aroma that God wants us to be. Now, that's not to say that even if we are doing the work of God and living a life in a way that's properly representing Jesus Christ, that's not to say that everybody's going to be glad to see us coming. Even when we're putting off the most pleasing aroma by our actions and reflecting who Jesus is through our actions and through our love, just like it was with Paul, there are going to be some that don't want to hear that truth. But we can't control what other people do. We can only control what we do. So what about us today? How are we smelling spiritually? Are we putting off a pleasing aroma for the kingdom of God? Are we those that when we encounter people that people leave from seeing us saying, man, there's something about him, or there's something about her, or there's a pleasantness to them. There's a pleasant odor, so to speak, a pleasant fragrance, so to speak, to use Paul's words. And that's what we want to strive to do, to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, to try to love like he does, to have grace like he does, to have compassion and patience like he does, so the world will see the beauty and the beautiful fragrance that is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for this simple word that we understand, dear Lord. We understand that we don't like stinky stuff. We like stuff that smells good, dear Lord. So we need to strive in our life to be one who puts off a pleasant fragrance of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in the world that we live in, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us even when we encounter people, dear Lord, that don't want to hear the truth of your word. And even when we preach the message of grace and forgiveness and compassion, dear Lord, even still, some find that offensive. But God, I pray that you just be with us. Give us the courage that we need and the strength that we need to do your work. Help us to be better examples for you. Maybe there are some areas in our life where we are really not people that anybody wants to be around by our actions and our attitude. And I pray that you would help our heart to change, that you would help us to have a heart that is more like yours, dear Lord, that we can learn from Paul and those who were faithful to serve alongside him, dear Lord, that we would be so on fire for you, that we would be a pleasant presence when we enter the room and enter into contact with those we encounter. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.